So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit being with us. We pray that as we come to your word, you may help us to understand it and to apply it to what you want us to apply it to for our own lives. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I wonder, are you a worrier? Are you a worrier? Am I a worrier? Well, many people are. Many people are for very many reasons. For example, there's lots of things in our lives to worry about. For some, it's health. For some, it's finance. For some, it's the concern for health of others, the close to us, people we love. It's worrying about the future, maybe for ourselves, for our grandchildren, people we know. Is it about climate change, which has affected a lot, hasn't it? So, is it about what's going to happen if we haven't got much money? What's going to happen in this terrible world for the future of our children and grandchildren? Maybe you worry about such things. So, how do you react to these words? Do not worry. Do not worry, says Jesus. I think it is. It's implying that God actually knows everything about us. But this Greek word, do not worry, has a whole range of meanings. And I thought, hang on, what's it all about? Well, let me tell you some of these range of meanings of this one particular word. It can, from its Greek point of view, it can mean anxious, concerned, troubled, distracted, worried, have care for things. Isn't it amazing how a Greek word can have all this wonderful range and challenging range of information about it? It's a bit more precise, isn't it, when we say do not worry in English, I think. But there we are. So Jesus says, do not worry. And he is saying and implying that God actually is in control. So you don't really need to worry, in a sense. This past week, some of us, using our Scripture Union readings, were taken into the book of Genesis and talking about Jacob. Jacob had done many bad things. He had cheated his brother of his birthright and so on. And so, because of that, he fled, because he thought his brother Esau was going to kill him. Well, he was, actually. But so he went. And he fled from a long way away. And then, after many years, God spoke to him and told him this: go back home. I wonder if his leg shook at that point. Go back home. So Jacob made lots of things to do to appease his brother, preparations to make him feel okay, because he was worried about the reception he would get when he met his brother. But actually, there was no need for him to worry in that respect, for God was in control. God had told him to go. And if God tells us to do something, we should be confident about that, that he'll be with us and help us. So when the brothers eventually got near to each other, Jacob had sent all kinds of provisions for his brother. His brother had come with 400 fighting men, it seems, but everything was okay. And Esau rushed forward and embraced Joseph, gave him a big hug and kissed him. And all was well. So there was no need for him to have worried, because God, his heavenly Father, had prompted him to go. God was in control, and he still is today for you and for me. So when Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Well, does it mean that we should not be concerned about ourselves? No, of course not. We should, because we do need food, we do need drink, we do need clothes. And we need them to help us survive. That's what it's about for us. But if we are not careful, they can become too important for us in our lives. Barbara says, I sometimes harp on a look about it. She was a harper. Actually her maiden name, but she says, I harp on a bit about this. So some of you may have heard this before, me banging on about this aspect of our world. One of the damaging issues in our culture can be the advertising bombardment at us from TV, from our laptops, our Androids, our iPads, our iPhones, everything encouraging us to have things that as Christians God may not want us to have. We can slip into that if we're not careful. So, here in verse 26, it shows that God is in control, and he challenges us to reflect on the world of nature. He's contrasting our worldly anxiety with nature. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, like people do, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, doesn't he? But actually, they are not passive and do nothing, aren't birds. They build nests, have young, rear them, feed them, look after them. They don't have to worry about harvest, and they don't have to worry about barns or anything like that, because their heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, feeds them. So God provides for birds and takes care of them. So then, therefore, should we not expect this same God to look after us, to care for us, to want to be with us and help us? Of course he does. Jesus said this, are you not much more valuable than they? Yes, in God's sight, we are much more valuable than the birds of the air, though he provides for them. So he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, you can't. You don't know long how long your life's going to be anyway. So, the fact is this, that worry and anxiety makes things worse. It can cause, for some people, stomach ulcers, coronary thrombosis, a lot of stress. And stress is one of the big causes and contributors to illness and disease and poor health. So we need to take Peter's advice, which he said, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. And he cares for you every day, every minute, every hour, every second, all the time. He cares for me as he cares for you. So Jesus moves on. He moves on about clothes and refers to the flowers of the field. Well, it didn't say that in our version today, but it's sometimes called the lilies of the field, the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work, do they? For they do look wonderful. And actually, at the moment, at the end of our lawn, at the bottom of our garden, there's a beautiful, beautiful, lovely yellow band of aconites. Beautiful, really lovely. In this gloomy spring days that we've had, we could look at those and say, that's great. And I could reply this, I could say this, that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor was dressed like those wonderful aconites. Solomon was not, in spite of him being wonderful, intelligent, having lots of gifts from God, which then he lost. He was not as important as the flowers of the field. They died and were thrown into the fire, but that's a different thing. But won't God much more clothe us, O you of little faith? Well, I trust that yours not little faith, but yours is a faith that trusts in our Heavenly Father. So we learned from our reading that we are more valuable than birds. And worrying over material things is rooted in a low understanding of our value before God, the God who loves us and cares for us. So we mustn't become materialistic, which most of the pagans do. Non-Christians being pagans, they're more likely to do that. But we shouldn't get tangled up and worrying about the things of this world, because life is more than these things and more important than material things around us. And God knows what we need. And I thought, that's challenging, isn't it? If I was a person being persecuted right across the world, as in Myanmar, being bombed, attacked, forced into a jungle, what would I think? Does God care for me? Yes. We know from what some people have said, yes, I believe God is with me in spite of all these terrible things happening. And they, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are often viewing our world in a different way from us in our very comfortable society. So we shouldn't get tangled up worrying about the things of this world, because life is more than these things. And our Heavenly Father knows what we need. So it goes on, we must seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, living the right kind of way that he wants us to live, that he directs us to do and guides us each day, if we ask him. How often do we not ask him to be with me today? What do you want me to do? I'm in a retired position. So, okay, I can just sit there all day on my iPad, that sort of rut, as Barbara said, don't you get, you know, things like that. But I need to focus on God and ask him, what do you want me to do today? So God can guide us and direct us. And some of this is the outcome of being good friends to people, good husbands and fathers and grandparents, good wives and mothers and grandmothers, good at our work, or good, as I said, in our retirement activities. And then comes these final words. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, Jesus is not arguing against careful provision for the future. But don't fret unduly about what tomorrow may bring. God can provide and sustain and help us in that tomorrow. And actually, many of us do worry about things that we have no control over whatsoever. Or we might pray about those things as well. But God can provide and sustain for us. So if you must worry about each day, as Jesus said, each day has enough trouble about its own. Although we are living in the present, it's good to remember what God has done for us in the past, and it is good to plan for the future. But God wants us to live in the present for Him. Amen.